Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the glorious victory of yours that we anticipate, and we thank you that we participate in this victory by your grace. And, O Lord, as we come now to your living word, we pray that you would shed your light upon it and enlighten our hearts to receive it with thanksgiving and joy. In the name of our Savior and great King, the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Our reading this evening comes from 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5, beginning at the first verse, reading through verse 4. Hear now the word of God. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion but willingly, not for dishonest gain but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive a crown of glory that does not fade away. And here ends the reading of God's word. Now, one of the great freedoms that you have in Christ as Reformed believers is your freedom to select your own leaders from among you. There is no monarchical bishop to impose elders and pastors on you. There are no elders who can impose their candidates on you. This is a freedom that was hard won by our reforming ancestors, and you should cherish it and use it wisely to preserve the integrity of the rule of Christ over his church. As we see from Peter's message to the church here, it is God who gave elders to the church to shepherd the flock of Christ. Christ's fellow elder, Peter, exhorts the elders in the flock. Notice how Peter humbly sets himself alongside the elders of the church. And notice also how Peter sets the elders alongside himself. And the office of elder is an office with dignity because it is created by Christ himself for his church. From the beginning, there were elders in Israel. Even when Israel was sent off to Babylon in exile, there were elders there, and they returned to Jerusalem. And in New Testament times, we find that the elders are brought into the church to continue the work of shepherding the people of God. And it is the elders collectively who continue the work of the apostles, though elders are not apostles. The apostles were uniquely qualified, not simply because they were picked by Christ personally, because Christ continues to select all the men that he calls to the office of elder. We read in Hebrews 5:4 that no one takes the honor to himself, but receives it when he is called by God. But the apostles were eyewitnesses of Christ, as Peter identifies himself as a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also his hope, a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. In Acts chapter 1, when there had to be a selection of a new apostle to replace Judas Iscariot, and Matthias was elected, he was elected to be a witness with us of the resurrection. So the apostles were a unique group of men, handpicked by Christ to be witnesses of Christ and witnesses of his resurrection. And Christ allowed them to show their authority by signs and wonders and miracles, as Paul explained to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 12:12. And finally, all the apostles were preachers, and their teaching was entirely infallible and without error. So we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, he said, "Consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction. as they do also the rest of the scriptures. The apostolic letters were recognized as scriptures by the apostles themselves. So the elders are not apostles, but the elders continue the work of shepherding and of overseeing the church. You see, Peter's direction here, his commandment to the elders is, shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers. Although not all elders are equally gifted, nor are all elders equally qualified for preaching and teaching, which Paul indicates is a spiritual gift given in 1 Timothy 4:14, and Paul does indeed indicate that some elders are set apart for the work of preaching and teaching in 1 Timothy 5:17. But all elders have a responsibility of shepherding the flock of God. Historically, our terminology recognizes a distinction between teaching elders and ruling elders. And unlike the apostles, the teaching elders in the church do not teach infallibly, but teach instead the revealed word of God, which is infallible, and apply it, sometimes fallibly, to the flock. The elders do the work, a particular work, in the flock, and only in a God-defined way. The sheep and the shepherds are one. They are all God's people. The elders are shepherds among the sheep, and the sheep are among the shepherds. So, as Peter writes here, he addresses himself to the elders who are among you. The elders are among the flock, among the church. And in the second verse in chapter 5, Peter says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, speaking to the elders. So sheep and shepherds are all one people of God. And there is also, as we can see plainly from this passage and many others, there is more than one shepherd in each flock. No shepherd is identified above any others except for Christ, who is, as Peter expresses it here, the chief shepherd. Elders are sheep. They're sheep who have been given a very special office and a special responsibility. But because elders are sheep, they need one another to work collectively so that they might know the mind of Christ, the chief shepherd, and care for his flock as he desires. And this is why elders function as a session, a seated group of elders who work together to do what Peter is calling elders to do here, to shepherd the flock of God which is among you. And shepherding, therefore, includes supervision. When Peter says shepherd the flock of God, he is using a term that's only found here and again in Acts chapter 20 when Paul is addressing the elders in Ephesus at Acts 20, 28 and 29. And in both these statements, the one of Peter's and the one of Paul's, the shepherding is connected with watching over the flock. This is the first and most important thing that a shepherd does, is he watches over the flock. In Acts, Paul uses the noun, and he describes the elders there as episkopos, from which we get the English word episcopal, translated bishop episkopos. And here in 1 Peter 5:2, Peter uses a related verb, episkopeo, in a participle form, which focuses on the activity of overseeing. And here it's translated serving as overseers. He says, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, overseeing, not by compulsion, but willingly, and so on. So again, we see that the term elder and bishop or overseer in the New Testament are used synonymously and refer to the same group of men, not a hierarchy, not distinct offices within the group of elders. The elders are men with authority in the church, but they are men with authority who are themselves under authority. The chief shepherd, Christ, directs how the elders do their work. And Peter's command here is really striking in view of the words of Christ in John 21 to Peter, to a repentant Peter who is coming back to the chief shepherd, when he asked Peter, do you love me? And you might remember the commands, tend my lambs, shepherd my sheep, tend my sheep. And so here Peter is passing on that commission to the elders among the church. Tend the sheep of Christ. And the elders do have authority. The congregation is commanded by Christ to submit to these under-shepherds. 1 Thessalonians 5:12 reads, "And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves." And the apostle in Hebrews 13 at verse 17 states, "Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. Let them do this with joy and not with grief, for this would be unprofitable for you." Now, when you stop for a minute and think about this, you realize that it is an awesome spiritual responsibility that Christ has given to the elders. And it's very common for a man called to be an elder to think, "Can I do this? Am I up to this task?" And indeed, even Paul commented on that when he writes to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 3. He says, "Not that we are adequate in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God, who also made us adequate as servants of a new covenant." If the elders are chosen by the Holy Spirit, working through the will of the congregation to shepherd the church of God, we can count on the Lord to make them adequate. Christ equips his men, and he leads his men through his word and prayer because he loves his flock and he wants to see his flock well tended. So this is why your responsibility as a congregation to choose godly men called of God is indeed a great responsibility. You need to call men who live in obedience to Christ. You need to call men who show a shepherd's heart, who are committed to the church, who are eager to serve the church and watchful. And tonight, you are participating in an election to select men who will rule over you together with the present elders. In caring for Christ's flock, elders are called to be willing, eagerly serving leaders and not lords. Peter has three strong contrasts here. First, an elder must serve not under compulsion, but willingly. The work of an elder can be demanding and stressful. Elders often have to deal with sin, fighting evil, dealing with discouragements, with disagreements. And often elders do the work piled up on top of the normal day's work. There can be dangers, especially in times of persecution, because the elders are the leaders, and the devil always tries to strike the shepherds to scatter the sheep. But the willing service of an elder comes from a recognition of the call of Christ and a willingness to deny yourself and to serve the Lord. And so, my brother, if you are chosen tonight, consider this very prayerfully, that you are to serve as an overseer, not by compulsion, but willingly. And the second contrast is not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, not for money. Indeed, 1 Timothy 3:3 tells us that elders are not to be greedy for money. Positions of responsibility in the world always come with greater compensation, don't they? But that's not the case in the church. Paul taught that preachers should be paid for their work, and Jesus said that the worker is worth his wage. And in the church, pastors are paid, although in many churches they're not even paid what public school teachers earn. But elders get paid nothing for their service. They are men with jobs in the world, and then a second job in the church to serve the flock of Christ. So a ruling elder serves voluntarily and freely. And the third contrast is nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. Not domineering. The Greek word that Peter uses here, being lords, means to attempt to be a master, to gain dominion over someone. It's what Jesus told the disciples that the rulers of the Gentiles do, but you are not to be that way. He who wants to be first among you must be the servant of all. So elders are to be servants, not bosses. They are to be ministers, not executives. And elders have to avoid the temptations of professionalism, of the business model that's pushed at us all the time, and of manipulative political strategies to do the work of Christ. The shepherds are to be examples for the sheep, as Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:12, in speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity. In a flock, the shepherd walks in front of the sheep, and he calls the sheep to follow him. And the sheep know the shepherd, and they follow him. And Jesus sets the pace. He's the shepherd for all of us. And that's why Paul can write to the Corinthians saying, I urge you to imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ, as I teach everywhere in every church. The shepherds of the church must lead the sheep to the green pastures of the Word of God and by the still waters of peace with God and with one another. And Peter ends on a note that the chief shepherd will indeed judge and reward the work of the elders. The elders must be like the servants, even the slaves, who were admonished by Paul to do their work with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same from the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. So these directives by Peter and the passages by Paul that I hope you've been reading and meditating on give you principles by which to recognize a good elder. These are important commands that Peter has given here because Christ looks very seriously at his elders. So look for the Lord's men. The Lord's men may not look like the world's men. They do not have to have advanced university degrees. They do not have to be rich businessmen. They do not have to be famous or good looking. They need to know the Bible. They need to be faithful and diligent, godly in personal life. They need to be known for good works and for humble Christian grace. So please exercise prayerful discernment and good judgment in the Holy Spirit as you vote. Select from among the godly men in this church those to serve you as elders. Let me remind you again from our Book of Church Government what the duties of an elder are. Active pastoral care of the congregation. Regular attendance and participation in session meetings. Involvement in and oversight of the teaching ministry of the congregation. Involvement in and oversight of the observance of the sacraments. Training of the whole congregation to mature discipleship. Ministry to the erring and lost. Visitation to the sick and needy. Dedication to the advancement of the whole Church of Christ. Regular participation in the higher courts of the church, that means presbytery and synod. Meeting jointly with the board of deacons periodically for evaluation and growth in their respective ministries. And even after this election, brothers and sisters, please continue to pray for Christlikeness to mature in all your elders and in the presbytery and in the church at large. Father, we pray for wise and discerning hearts as we hear your word and understand what you are calling us to. Lord, please lead us as we continue in this evening of election. In the name of Jesus and for his sake and his people's sake. Amen.